Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DGEN Nation family, what is up? What is happening? Man, we are back from hiatus. It feels like an eternity, but we are here. It's your host, Ryan Alexander underscore W, and I'm joined by my usual co-host and my buddy in this whole thing, Mr. Kevin Steele at Fantasy Rat 13. And Kevin, we got the Super Bowl slate, showdown slate to talk about. It's your Kansas City Chiefs, and yeah, I'll say it. It's your Kansas City Chiefs against the San Francisco 49ers. It's a 1-2 punch here. You got the best offense going against the best defense, and we are here to break down the NFL showdown slate for the Super Bowl. Not something that we usually cover showdown on the show, but because it's the Chiefs, because it's the last show of the year, we had to do it. Kev, how are you feeling right now? What's going through your mind? Are you even putting some money down on these boys? Are you going to be watching in the comfort of your own home? Like, what's going on? And talk to the people.
No, for sure. It's crazy. We were talking about, before the show. But, hell, I remember a couple years ago we did a redraft. It was a TFA podcast. And I remember after the Chiefs got knocked out by the Steelers that you guys played we played the End of the Road by Boyz II Men and everything else.
We did, yep.
It was tough times with Kansas City. but, a couple years, Pat Mahomes later, here we are, and the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, something I never thought in my entire life I would ever see. Chiefs fans have had a tough road. Pretty much every kind of statistic of we have never seen this has always been by the Chiefs. We've gotten our hearts ripped out every single year that they were in the playoffs prior to this. Even last year, whenever they lost on an offsides call, thanks D Ford, to the Patriots. So no, the city is rocking, and I think everybody's just waiting for this game. Most people in this city have never seen the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. You had to go back to 1970, the last time they were in the Super Bowl. So man, really looking forward to this slate. And I'm definitely going to play some. I think for me, I'm waiting, one, for DraftKings to drop. They have the $3 right now, but it's like 400,000 person tournament. Don't even waste your money. Drop, if you want to drop three or four lines, isn't that fine? But do not, like, the top, first place, if you were to hit it, you're going to end up chopping that up with like 30, it's going to be like 100, 200, 300. It could be 1,000 people. That's just way too big of a tournament. It's almost guaranteed by Sunday, the DraftKings will open up another $3 and it'll be smaller, but it'll be much more advantageous for people to join. Most people won't join that one. And that's the one that I'm waiting for. And that's the one that I would put my money into. I would go and seek out, because they pretty much have all the same games that they've had all year this week, just for the showdown in terms of contests and everything else. So like I max entered the $5, the three entry max, like any three entry max, single entries that you can find, jump into those. You have a much better shot of actually making some decent money off that. Or if you're gonna play one that's a little bit more higher stakes or bigger, as we've talked about in the past with Showdown, is to run this is a perfect opportunity to run cluster. So if you're going to max enter a 20 entry max, then, setting up where you're running five of the same lineup clusters, that way you're at least, if you have a decent lineup that hits, even if you had one that take it down, you're going to win a lot more money versus just, entering, a bunch of bullets into something like that. I think that's another way to go with this, because there's only so many ways you can go with a Showdown.
For sure.
And if you're out here running jumping in these 400,000 person tournaments, you're going to be looking to split it with a lot of
people. For sure. Yeah, you hit it right on the head, Kevin. You could even see here, for those of you guys watching the video here for the DGEN Nation, we usually build our own, for those of you guys who are new, we usually build our own tournament line that we enter in for everybody to kind of, if you want to enter it in, that's great. If you just want to use that to help yourself build your own line, that's fine. But we usually do the Millie. And I talked with Kev pre-show and was like, hey, let's do one of the lower stakes tournament lines, because that's what we are both wanting to do for this Super Bowl slate, because of that reason, because of there's only one game. Most people are going to be building somewhat similar lines. And when you're talking about 150 entries in, like, you're just going to be the chances of you splitting that first place are higher. Whereas if you're getting into three max or a single entry, especially like, you know, the seven, even if you want to, if you want to max the $3, you know, like Kev's saying, the four, I think it's almost 500,000 entries. Like, there's a $75 three max. And I think your money would be much better spent there, even though first place, I believe, is maybe 2K. It might be five. I think it is 2K, but you're only going against 300 people. So, you know, your chances, if you think you have even like one off the wall play that you feel confident is going to hit, like, just try your luck there, and your payout return is going to be a little bit better, because you're just going against less people if that hits. So, you know, for the people who played Sammy Watkins, like KC last week, or not last week, but against the last game against Tennessee, you know, if you have that type of play or something like that, like, please just play the single entry and try your luck, because it's hard for people. It really comes down to, it's hard for people to assess what they're going to play in a single line, what they're going to do in a single entry tournament, because they're going to want to jam in Kelce and Kittle. They're going to want to play Pat Mahomes captain. They're going to look at all these different scenarios of how they want to attack. So, single entry is key. So that's what we have here. We have the $5 NFL Showdown, 100K nickel, three entry max, the Super Bowl. There's so many different ways we can go. Kev, I'm excited to pick your brain on this, because for one, just because we haven't talked about a slate in a while, too, we haven't talked about Showdown all that much together this year as well. So when we're talking about Showdown, just from an overall slate, I know there's a lot of rules, quote unquote, and perspectives that people have. So, like, for example, I'm just going to start off, like, I like Emmanuel Sanders at captain. He is extremely cheap. He is one of three options outside of Kittle that is a pass catcher for Jimmy Garoppolo. He allows you to get kind of the big names into your lineup. So, like, I really want to play Pat Mahomes. I really want to play Travis Kelce. I consider playing Raheem Mostert. So you're going to need some salary relief somewhere. And now when you're playing like a Pat Mahomes at captain, it just limits the rest of you. Like, you really need one. You need Pat Mahomes probably to run one in, if not two, because if he's throwing to the pass catchers with that 1.5 bonus, it becomes that much more important for you to have the person that he's throwing to, because Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Hardman and Watkins, they're all going to get a point for every catch. Plus, they're going to get the 6 points for the touchdown. Plus, they're going to get a bonus if they had 100 yards and so on and so forth. So their points end up being more important at the captain spot. But if Pat Mahomes does run a couple in, those are just, you know, lineup constructions that we have to discuss and talk about. So yeah, Kev, I when I was originally doing my builds, I found myself, you know, trying to figure out what ways that I can diversify my lineups that make sense, and then go from there. And so by playing Emmanuel Sanders, this is a guy who's played in the Super Bowl before. They brought him in for a reason. I think that his ownership will be lower because of the usage, or I want to say usage, but maybe the target share that Kendrick Bourne has been getting. He's cheaper, so I think people will try and get exposure to him. And, you know, I just from a game theory standpoint, I feel like KC has the opportunity to get up to, you know, a decent lead here or control the game with their offense if they can get some scores. And if San Francisco finds their way in a need to play from behind, then he could see an uptick in targets. Whereas the past couple of games, the San Francisco's been able to run over whomever they've come in you know, come in contact with and just had their way that way. With playing Sanders at captain, you're going to want to play Jimmy Garoppolo. That's usually what you want to do. Pair your pass catcher with the quarterback. So I have to have Jimmy Garoppolo on that team. And then with playing Sanders, Kelce, Mahomes, and Garoppolo, that gives me 6,000 per position. So maybe, you know, maybe I play a Samuel I can, you know, go defense, I guess, if I was feeling that way, or I can, you know, even pay up for Mostert at 9K and then I'm left with 2,600. And that's what we were talking about pre-show, Kev. It's like, I can play DeMarcus Robinson or Hardman with a Mahomes team. And I think Mahomes can score twice. So I kind of get that exposure there. And it's not going to necessarily kill me all that much. So I'm curious to see where your head's at, Kev, what you're thinking so far from an overall standpoint, and then we can get into these particular plays and kind of what makes sense.
Yeah, so for me, I think you have to, one, I'm not really breaking any new grounds, but for people that are playing the showdown and haven't done a lot of showdown and kind of are kind of new into this, because the Super Bowl is going to attract a lot of people. You know, they want something, you know, especially if you're not a Chiefs or 49ers fan, you kind of want something to do, and it makes the game even more exciting to have a little bit of money on it. So, you know, running some showdown lines, I think you're going to get a lot of people that haven't played, and I think there's going to be some edge for that. But so one, like, your lineup needs to tell a story, right? Like 100% more so than any other sort of type of game that you play, like, you know, your normal slate. Is this is so much more different because we have the one game to go off of, and so your lineup had better tell a story. So for me, like we saw, I sort of talked about this pre-show. Like, if I'm playing Tyreek Hill is 100% in the captain spot. I'm not playing him outside of the captain because he is such a dynamic game breaker that, and whenever he pops, it almost always is in favor of Travis Kelce having a poor game, and then vice versa. When Travis Kelce has a really good game, Tyreek Hill usually is the one that suffers from it. So. With Tyreek Hill being 16-5 and the captain, I just can't. That's the only way I can see myself playing Tyreek. You know, he's 11K when he's not. So right now for me, like, if I'm playing Tyreek Hill, he is 100% in the captain spot. Now, you can play Tyreek in the captain and not play Pat Mahomes. You can do that because Tyreek Hill is so efficient and he can haul in, you know, 60-70 yard touchdowns with ease. That can in turn limit Pat Mahomes' upside because they're scoring so quickly, so you're not getting a bunch of other opportunities. So while yes, he could get you some touchdowns, there's definitely a scenario where you can play Tyreek without Mahomes. Right now, like, that's what I'm looking at. Like, if I'm playing Tyreek, he's 100% in the captain spot. Now, if I'm not, then I think you can get a little bit more different on the Chiefs side in terms of the captains. Like, I think you can play Kelce in the captain spot for sure. Or, you know, I think Sammy Watkins is still in play. I do like one with freeing up a lot of money would be playing like a McCole Hardman. He busts off, you know, at 20, what is he, 22, I think. I know Robinson's at 26, but, you know, in the captain, he's 3,300 at captain. So you play him there, and it kind of opens up the entire thing and allows you to kind of do whatever you want a little bit here. And I think that's another interesting build as well. Now, on the San Francisco side, again, if you want to play, like I said, Tyreek and the captain, like, then I think here is when you kind of load up on the 49er side that tells you that, you know, hey, this is going to be a high scoring game. We know that this the line total has moved and continually moved up. And so for me, like, I'll probably have very little, if any, Mostert. He's just too expensive for me. I don't really want to, if I'm going to play a running back from this game, it's going to be Damian Williams. Just because of his usage in the passing game, he has kind of taken over this. But, like, I don't love Damian Williams either. I just know that I could see him being used some wheel routes, especially early on in this game. We know how good San Francisco's defensive line is, and they're going to try to get pressure. And I think one way they do that is by relieving some of that pressure is by utilizing Williams, especially on those wheel routes that Andy Reid loves to do with him. So I think he's in play, but I just wouldn't be over the field on him. Right now, like, I'm pretty much finding myself running a lot of Kelce and Watkins in the captain spot with a little bit of, like I said, McCole Hardman, and then kind of running it back with either a Kittle. I do really like the call with Emmanuel Sanders. He's been somebody that's been kind of the forgotten man this playoffs. He hasn't really had a big game, but they really haven't needed him to. When Jimmy Garoppolo's out here throwing the ball 20 times a game. But it, you know, at his price, like it's hard not to really love that. I also like Kendrick Bourne as another salary saver at 3,400. Past that, like I'm not playing, excuse me, any defenses in this game. I'm just not going to do it. I don't think that either one of them are necessary. I think this game is going to be so high scoring that I don't think that either one of them really come into play. They're definitely going to carry ownership between the two 49ers and Chiefs. I think you probably end up seeing somewhere in the probably 20% combined ownership. And I think that's way too high for this. The only other one that like super down here, if you want to get like super, super weird, would probably be, you could probably talk yourself into maybe like a Kyle Juszczyk, who they use as a fullback. But the other one, like, I don't know why, but I just have this weird feeling about LeSean McCoy that they may use him a little bit more than people think. And so just having a little bit, I wouldn't go crazy, maybe 5% LeSean McCoy, but like just having a little bit of LeSean McCoy here, I think could be interesting.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. If, Kyle Juszczyk is one of those guys that I was looking at if I needed salary relief. I actually was considering putting a bet on him as an anytime touchdown scorer. I forget what his prop was that I saw on Bovada. But, you know, I feel like they get into the goal line. Tevin Coleman's banged up. Whether he plays or not, like, I just can see them doing something like that. Kyle Juszczyk, I just remember, like, at least one Monday Night Football game with the San Francisco 49ers. Like, they were utilizing this dude even when it was, you know, Breida and Coleman and Mostert, like, all getting work. Like, Juszczyk was still getting goal line touches and all over the place. So, he definitely intrigues me at his price point. You know, you're probably at max you can hope to get out of him is 10. You're probably looking at somewhere between like 7 and 9 with the touchdown score, but it could be enough. Could be enough if you have the high profile pieces on your lineup hit where they are. Kev. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders, I think he's definitely forgotten. Like, he's 5,200. He's on DraftKings. He's 1,000 more than Harrison Butker, 1,200 more than Robbie Gould. Like, this dude's cheaper than C.J. Beathard. It just, his price just doesn't make sense to me for the dynamic player that he is in this game. That, yeah, regardless of maybe what you project game script to be, like, if this is high scoring, he's going to have opportunities. So if you even think that this is hitting what the over, what the line is telling you, then I think having some shares of him, maybe not even at captain, but just in general, I think make a ton of sense because the salary on him is ridiculous. And this was a guy earlier on in the season where we'd probably be getting him in that 8K range that Deebo Samuel's in right now. Talk to me a little bit about Sammy Watkins, Kev. I think you follow the Chiefs a little bit more closely than I do. And just for those of us who, you know, have played Sammy Watkins through the playoffs, just because on those slates, he was a cheap option to Pat Mahomes and gave you some salary relief. Is it possible for him to, was that just a fluke, or is it possible for him to pay off this price tag, just knowing however many other explosive options there are? Like, you're playing, you know, choosing to pay $7,000 for Sammy Watkins, who's getting, he's out there on the field, but you have to then choose over a 7-6 Deebo Samuel, an 8K Jimmy Garoppolo. Hell, even Tevin Coleman, if he is healthy, he's 6'4", and definitely will probably see goal line work if he is out there healthy. So where outside of captain exposure, how much do you think you have of him, and why is he such a strong play for you to play this week?
I mean, I think right now when looking at Sammy Watkins, I think that he's more of the guy that they use kind of on the underneath routes. And some of what happened last week, or 2 weeks ago in Tennessee, was a little bit of a fluke. He had the 60-yard touchdown that kind of really that really boosted him up, because, you know, you take that away, he ended up with, you know, about 50 yards on 6 receptions, right? What he brings is they typically somebody they kind of look for underneath, and he's not really a big red zone guy. He's not somebody that's going to see tons of targets inside the red zone. So, like, he needed that big long touchdown run out. Now at 7K, it's a little bit more. It's a, you know, that how expensive he is. Like, he's not as cheap as he was. Where, you know, against Tennessee he was 6,600, and then against Houston he was 5,200. So it was much easier to utilize him in that role. So I definitely will have some Sammy Watkins, but I probably won't have as much as I think. For me right now, most things that I'm kind of leaning towards. It's probably a Kelce or a Hardman in the, you know, as a captain, and then the rest of it kind of playing whether you go Mahomes, and then like I said, you know, I also think people are sleeping a little bit on DeMarcus Robinson, where Mecole Hardman seems to be the guy that everybody is super high on right now, and he does, you know, Hardman does have offer that game breaking speed, you know, somebody that can bring in, you know, a long touchdown, but so is DeMarcus Robinson. Like, people forget how explosive he can be as well, and somebody that can house call at any moment, where I think there's going to be a pretty, at least 5-10% ownership, and in terms of ownership gap between the two of them. And I think that's a little silly, because I think both of them possess the ability to at least get you 10 plus, and that's kind of what you're looking for here. So I like DeMarcus Robinson too at 2,600. So, you know, you're going to have to get a little bit weird to take this thing down. And I think going with like a DeMarcus Robinson over a Mecole Hardman, there's not much of a price difference there. And going with something like that, you know, on the San Francisco side of it, for me, like I said, like I'm kind of prioritizing them at, you know, Kittle, Debo, most certainly. Again, he is very explosive and somebody that can house call one at any time. But I think Kittle, Samuel, and then, you know, I think are the two that are going to obviously carry by far the most ownership. I'm really going to probably be fading Raheem Mostert. And then from there, you know, I really like the Emmanuel Sanders call, you know, trying to fit him in. And then, like I said, Kendrick Bourne is another guy who's also very cheap. You know, I don't know what to make about his target share here. You know, last week, right. You know, in the NFC Championship game, he only had one target, but it's so hard to go off of because of they haven't had to throw the ball. But I mean, I think he's somebody that you can probably feel relatively comfortable in the fact that I think he's going to have to throw. He's probably going to see 3 to 5 targets if this game shoots out like everybody expects. And so, I like Kendrick Bourne as another, you know, cheap option here.
That's fair. Yeah, I don't mind that at all either. There were two things, Kev, that I wanted to touch on. You had talked about Mecole Hardman at captain, which I think could make some sense to get some of the high price pieces in there. But, you know, pairing him with Chiefs D kind of seems reasonable. I know you said you didn't want much to do with these defenses, but Mecole Hardman at captain, you kind of have to pair him with defense, right? Just on the off chance he takes one to the house.
Sure. I mean that is certainly I think that's something you could do. He does that. I mean, then the Chiefs obviously become are 100% in play. But like, I don't think you're playing Hardman with a thought that's what you're looking for. Like, I think you're playing him with that thought process of, you know, he gets a 40-yard touchdown.
Right.
They're definitely going to be utilizing him. Him and DeMarcus Robinson kind of split routes and split opportunities now, and that's kind of where it's become, where a guy like Sammy Watkins, you know, is locked into the field. But between the two of them, I just think nobody's paying enough attention to DeMarcus Robinson, and I think that's a mistake, because also Pat really does look for DeMarcus Robinson inside the red zone, somebody that can find himself, you know, getting hauling in a red zone target as well for DeMarcus Robinson. I mean, he had that brutal game against the Texans last week, bounced back a little bit more. It wasn't a huge game, but you know, you're not looking, when you're paying down at this price, you're not looking for, you know, you're not looking for, in your typical, you know, DFS week, you know, you're looking for that 20 to 25 upside from these guys. You're not looking that from these dudes. Like, if you get 10, even 8 to 10 range from DeMarcus Robinson, you're happy. Anything over that is gravy. It's going to be about trying to find, basically telling your story with your lineup of how you think things are going to go. If you're heavy on San Francisco, you think San Francisco is going to win, running a 4v2. And also really looking at it from the perspective of, you know, again, if you're telling yourself a story on how this is going to go, and you feel like the Chiefs are going to get up early, you know, then really running a reverse there of you know, running four 49ers, Jimmy G, you know, Kittle, Debo, you know, and then, you know, a Kendrick Bourne, and then running it back, you know, on the Kansas City side with a Damian Williams and Tyreek in the flex or something like that would be one way that I would look to utilize that, because that's, you know, I think that that's a pretty solid build there for a team that, you know, I haven't ran. I don't know if, you know, if it would fit in salary wise, but of a way to tell your story of how you think things are going to go. And that is what matters more than anything in terms of playing the showdown.
For sure. For sure. I do like, yeah, it's just going to be tough, Kev, because, you know, I think what I'm battling with is that I just don't see how San Fran can hold up in a shootout. Like, I just don't see it. If it is going to be San Francisco scoring a lot of points, I think that they, you know, get up to a big lead or somehow, and, you know, regardless of how that may be, maybe it's 14-7, 21-7 at half or what have you. And then KC can kind of, you know, put the foot on the gas and really, you know, start scoring and then carry the total in that regard. Like, I don't think San Fran wants any part of a shootout to try and win this game. So in that case, you know, it's kind of, that's kind of what I'm dealing with, is like, you know, do I want Jimmy G and two pass catchers? Do I want Jimmy G without Kittle and one of his pass catchers? Do I want to get Mostert exposure? And is Mostert exposure going to be enough in the flex outside of captain to pay off his price tag? Because I hear you, Kevin, like you, I don't necessarily want to fade him, but the price tag on him, especially not expecting a shootout, like, it does make it hard for me to try and justify getting him outside of situations where I think that he's going to be outside of captain for my teams. You know, because they're just so damn hard to predict, and they get into the goal line and there's so many routes that they can go that I really want to try and get at least three Chiefs in my lineups. Like, I think that's foregone conclusion. I don't think I'll have any lineup that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes in it. I just can't do it. We talk about not going 100% in on a player because things can happen. And, you know, we could have a situation where it was like last year where we didn't see much scoring, if at all. But I just don't see a way that this guy doesn't give a usable score in some way, shape, or form. So it scares me to fade him. So I got to already put him on my team. And once you have Mahomes, you kind of want to balance it out to where you don't want to jam in guys like Mostert, Kittle, Kelce, like three of them. You probably can only take two. But, you know, outside of that, like, you know, I think in showdowns when we're building multiple lines, I usually try and have some exposure to kickers. I think I'd probably be more willing to play Robbie Gould than Butker, as weird as that sounds, just because I'll have most of my exposure on Pat Mahomes. So I'm going to be rooting for touchdowns. I don't really, you know, want to have Mahomes and Butker on the same team. So getting some Robbie Gould exposure, I could see myself doing, but Kendrick Bourne is right there. Hell, even Matt Breida's right there. Like, I could see Shanahan going into the playbook to get some of these guys involved. So it's going to be weird to, you know, I think where you can differentiate yourself in lines is taking these KC guys who are going to, you know, who we feel like are going to pop, like a Tariq Hill, Watkins, Mahomes, and then getting one solid guy from San Fran, maybe not even taking Jimmy G, and getting like one of these offshoot guys in hopes that they score a touchdown and kind of help you out that way. Who else did I want to touch on here, Kev, as we're looking at these lines? You know, when we're talking about Deebo Samuel, he's really come on strong here, the rookie, for Jimmy G. And even with them not having to pass much at all, I mean, the most targets he's seen, hasn't seen double-digit targets since week 11, saw 8 in week 14 against New Orleans. That was a high-scoring game. If my God, I mean, it went for 54 points, or I'm sorry, not 54, 94 points, and he still only had a line of 5 and 76, which is crazy. And then like 6, 5, 5, 6, 3 is what his targets are. But he seems to be just so much a part of this offense. He's so dynamic of a player. I definitely want to have, I think, you know, a good 30 to 35% exposure on this guy because of what he offers on the table. Is there anybody who you feel confident in having, like, outside of the quarterbacks, close to 50% or more exposure on?
So for me, it would be Kelce on the Chiefs side, which, and then on the, you know, on the 49ers side, I really find myself getting the most of Kittle and Debo. You know, the other thing with Debo Samuel that he kind of provides is he also had the, you know, they utilize him as a, you know, as a ball carrier as well. I mean, he's had a carry in every single game going all the way back to week 12. I mean, he's had at least one attempt, and, you know, he's been pretty explosive at doing it. So that's another way that, you know, he can kind of provide a little bit more upside as well, even though they're not getting the ball as much. So, but like I said, like I think Emmanuel Sanders is a very solid pivot off of him. And I don't think he's going to carry the ownership, because I think everybody's going to want to pay up for these top of the line guys. And I don't think people are going to have the money to be able to get back up to Emmanuel Sanders, because it was really, once you get past Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson and the Kendrick Bournes, like, it's pretty thin, right? Like, LeSean McCoy, there's a possibility he sees 5 to 10 touches in this game. There's also the possibility he sees 0. And, you know, same with Juszczyk or Jeff Wilson or, you know, guys like this that, you know, or, you know, Ross Dwelly gets some random, you know, opportunity, or, you know, it's just being the Super Bowl. Like, these guys are going to roll out all different kinds of things. Like, people are going to tilt their face off if Anthony Sherman catches a 20-yard touchdown, you know, as a fullback, and where, you know, he gets, you know, but most of those are very low outcome opportunities. And so, like, I feel like there's going to be a lot of very similar builds, and I think people are just going to overlook Emmanuel Sanders, and I don't think he's going to carry the ownership that he probably should. And I think he could be the key to this slate, and somebody, you know, even if it, running him as captain, like on the San Francisco side, I think is super interesting. And because, like I said, when you're building, you kind of just don't have the opportunity to get to him, because everybody's going to want to play Tyreek or Kelce, and right, you know, and then the Kittle. So I just don't think people are going to be able to get to them. And I think he's a very interesting pivot off of a Debo Samuel or a George Kittle.
I hear you, Kev. I'm just looking to see scenarios here and make sure we touch on everything before we get into building this team. Is there any, I know you don't want to play Mostert, you want to fade him. Would it be possible? Could you see yourself building some lines where you have McCoy and Williams on the team? Do you think that would pay off at all? Are there any other, like, you know, will you find yourself, I guess, doubling up on the positions, whereas, like, receivers, usually the position that all people will do that from, but, like, Kelce and Kittle on the same team, Williams and McCoy on the same team, Mostert and a Coleman or Juszczyk on the same team. Like, can the points come from the ground that way, you think, in bunches enough to where it'll make sense?
Not on the Kansas City side. I would be very shocked. I mean, that would tell me that the Chiefs got up very quickly and early on the 49ers, and they were, you know, playing more ball control. You know, but again, you know, when you're not really looking for a ton. So if LeSean McCoy, you know, caught a 30-yard touchdown, or, you know, a 30-yard wheel route and brings it into the end zone, then, you know, he's definitely going to be probably in the winning lineup. Because it's not going to take a whole lot. So, and he's 2,100. Nobody's going to play him, but it's a very low. It's a very low probability play, just because they just haven't utilized him. I mean, Damien Williams has just soaked up every opportunity, you know, and whether it's been through the air or on the ground. So I don't know. There's something about this game tells me a little bit that I just have this feeling that they're going to try to utilize LeSean McCoy a little bit in this game. But if I'm going to play two running backs, it's going to be on the San Francisco side, and it would be, you know, the Mostert and the, you know, Tevin Coleman or even a Matt Breida, but I definitely didn't do it on the Kansas City side.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. And last thing, Kev, quarterbacks at captain, how you feeling about that this week? with the high scoring game. There's going to be probably more exposure. There's probably going to be more quarterbacks at captains than we're used to seeing in showdown. One, because Mahomes is on site, and two, just because of the high total that there is. So I think there does come some merit in just not building any lineups that have the quarterbacks at captain. How do you feel about the quarterbacks at captain this week?
Yeah, I mean, if you just kind of look at how often quarterbacks finish inside the captain, like, it's very, very low probability that end up being in the winning lineup where a quarterback is the top scorer, unless you're talking about like a Lamar Jackson or something like that, where somebody
right.
can get you yards on the ground. Where, I mean, Mahomes could end up getting 30, 40 yards rushing, but that's not enough to really change anything. So unless Mahomes gets a couple rushing touchdowns, it is very low probability to have him in the captain spot. So I would always much rather play a wide receiver in the captain, you know, or tight end than I would want to play, you know, somebody like that. So I likely will have zero of quarterbacks in the captain spot.
Okay. Good deal. Fair enough. All right, Kev. Well, let's, you know, it's a one game slate. So I think we talked about the scenarios that we really needed to hit on. Unless you have something else, let's get into building this team.
No, works for me.
All right. So we got the captain and then we got five flex positions. You know, I think for right now, I'm just going to say, and I'm not going to do captain, but I'm just going to put Pat Mahomes in the flex. I think we both feel confident in having him on our team. I think he's definitely going to be one of the pieces you need to have. You have to pick six. And so if we're going to fade one, I don't think we want to fade Mahomes. So I'm going to go ahead and put Pat Mahomes in the flex spot.
Well, we'll run Kelsey as a captain.
Kelsey as captain. All right. So we got Kelsey in a captain. He's going to be our 1.5 guy. That leaves us 5750 per player. We both like this guy, so let's just go ahead and throw it in, get exposure to the other side, and Emmanuel Sanders at 52. Throw him in now. We got three positions left, 5.9 per, which is pretty decent.
All right. I'm going to play Kittle.
Oh, man. Let's go with it. All right. So Kittle's 8.4. That leaves us 47 per. Player. About playing Garoppolo at 8K, but then it gets ugly. Well, you know what? Let's do it. If we're playing two pass catchers, let's play.
Well, I guess I'll only leave Shady McCoy.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing that we could do would be,
because we could go $2,200 Hardman and then have $7,200 left. And that would allow us to either play Watkins or Tevin Coleman.
Right, which I don't feel good about Coleman at this point. Let's do Hardman and Watkins for now. I think you could talk yourself into, you know, you're playing Kelsey at captain, so you at least want two touchdowns, I feel like, probably the 100-yard bonus. And then, you know, if Mahomes gets another one to somebody else, you're hoping that's Hardman. I feel confident in that. You're hoping that you're getting most, if not, but 70% of the work from the San Francisco passing attack from being back. And if they, you know, maybe they both end up scoring, but Jimmy G doesn't throw one to somebody else. I think it's a safe and fair team to come up with. So we got Kelsey at captain. We got Pat Mahomes, Emmanuel Sanders, George Kittle, Sammy Watkins, and Mecole Hardman all in at flex. And that's our team. So let's go ahead and enter this in. Kev, you got any final words for anybody? This is the last Degen Nation pod of the year. It's crazy. Can't believe the year is pretty much done and over with, but it's been a fun one. So on behalf of Kev, before Kev says any final words, just want to thank everybody for joining us all year. Thank you to all the support that Degen Nation has given us. Thank you guys for listening to the pod, subscribing, all the new people who have been involved in the Slack chat. It's been a lot of fun this year. I think Kev and I had a lot of fun. This is the first year that it was just the two of us doing it for a majority. So we definitely, you know, thank you guys for tuning in to hear two knuckleheads go at it every week with us having strong opinions on our plays. We think it, you know, we embrace the debate here at the DGEN Nation Pod. So we appreciate all that. And thank you to the guys at the TQE, Maddie Dickinson and Derek Brown for coming in, which, you know, I speak for Kev on that as well. But yeah, Kev, talk to the people, tell them how you're feeling before Super Bowl Sunday, let them know what's going through your head, and I'll just give you the floor.
No, yeah, it's been a fun year. You know, we've had a lot of debates, which we always do because that's we're very passionate about it. We even had a negative comment that we debate too much, and you know, we talked about that. But again, you know, we talked about it before that I'd much rather be passionate about something than just kind of coming on here and circle jerking it the entire time, which you see a lot of. But I appreciate everybody in the Slack. Like, I feel like we have a really strong crew in there of people that we kind of go through and talk about all this stuff. So it sucks that the season's coming to an end and this is the last game. But, you know, we have a lot of other stuff going on. You know, we'll still be playing other sports. So, you know, I'm a big NASCAR guy, too. I love playing NASCAR. And Daytona 500 actually is like 2 weeks. Yeah, I think it's 2 weeks from Sunday. So... And then the next weekend is the Clash, or is the, yeah. So Daytona 500 is easy money. So if you've never played NASCAR, which you can hate NASCAR, never follow it, don't know nothing about it, and you can play the Daytona 500. Like, it is, there's pretty much a set strategy, and more and more people have caught on to it. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So I'll have to play some NASCAR, love me some NASCAR, DFS. But so anyways, I am looking forward to it. This game is going to be amazing, and it's cool that my boy, who is turns 9 in May, is going to be able to check, you know, is seeing you know, the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. You know, it must be nice to only have to have went through you know, almost 9 years of your life to be able to get a Super Bowl in, you know. So that's good. So anyways, but no, like I said, I really appreciate everything. You know, we have the TFA podcast going on. We have a lot of guests lined up for that. Yep. We're breaking down, you know, the incoming rookie class and everything else, kind of more of a dynasty spend right now. But, so yeah. And then, you know, we can't have a Super Bowl podcast without talking about the food. So, like, what are you excited about in terms of just, like, getting down on and crushing this weekend?
Man, you know what? It's going to be crazy because we're going to, you know, this is the first time that my now fiance and I are going to be at the future in-laws for the Super Bowl party. So not doing it with friends, doing it with family this year. So I'm sure there's going to be an exciting spread. I don't know what to expect, but I love game day nachos, love getting into like the mini stuff. So like, you know, mini quesadillas, the wings, any type of just like finger food that's just like quick. I don't want like a big dinner. Like, you just need to have like little things all throughout the day to just keep it moving. And because the game's so early too, it's 5:30, which you know, usually doesn't start until like a half an hour or so after that. But still, like, you know, I just like to just be snacking on stuff all day and maybe just get a big breakfast in and then handle all the rest with the Super Bowl stuff. How about you, Kev?
Yeah, I completely agree. Love, you know, the wings are a must have. You know, dips, love some dips, whether it's like a, you know, queso or like jalapeno popper dip. Like, there's all kinds of good stuff out there. So I 100% agree. I'm not a big drinker anymore because I'm a little older now. But I'm definitely not going. We were talking about this today at work, and I'm like, I'm not going to be drinking at the Super Bowl at all. Like, I need to experience this. I need to enjoy it. I would be so mad at myself if I got like hammered and wasted and like didn't get to like really enjoy the full, you know, and like remember all of it and everything else. Like, I've been waiting my whole life for this. And like, when I say that, like, I mean that. And there's a lot of people around the city that have been waiting our whole lives to see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So I'm not gonna ruin it by getting hammered. Like, if they win, okay, we're getting turned up, power and light's gonna be popping, the whole city's gonna be popping, there's going to be all kinds of babies born on or conceived.
Oh yeah, conceived.
on Sunday. But yeah, I will not be getting hammered.
A lot of boys named Patrick. A lot of boys named Patrick are going to be coming out too.
Yeah.
That's funny. I don't even want to get you thinking about it, Jason, but just, you know, is Monday off for you right now?
Like, oh, it is. I took off. I took it off 3 weeks ago. So yeah, I'm already off. Like, I ain't got to worry about it.
That's what's up. Hey, that's what's up. For those who don't know Kev, Kev grinds at work. Like, he's in there early, stays later than he probably should. And I haven't heard of you taking a day off, but I mean, this is a holiday for you, so you definitely deserve it.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. Should be good.
Man, well, you know, thank you guys so much for joining us. Like we said, all season long, the DFS DGen Nation podcast. You can find us at DGen Nation Pod on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at RyanAlexander_W. You can find Kevin on Twitter at FantasyRad13. And even though the season's coming to the end, it doesn't stop here. So we're going to be thinking about ways in 2020 to come back better than ever with the DGen Nation Pod here come August. And in the meantime, you know, we hope that you guys stick around. We hope that you guys, you know, keep following along as we, like Kev said, we'll be still in the Slack chat talking about other DFS sports, NBA, NASCAR and MLB. Probably not NHL unless somebody wants to come in and learn us a thing or two. And that way we can build some lines. But other than that, it's been a fun year, guys. We can't thank you enough. Good luck to you guys. Good luck on Sunday. Remember to be cautious with how you're building those lineups. Don't go crazy. It is still a one-game slate, so you don't want to be burned with Kyle Juszczyk scores twice. But we wish you guys best of luck taking down GPPs, and we'll see you guys next year, 2020. Until then, we out. Peace.
Think you could tell me what to do? Who you're talking to?
Well, you better get used to the way the war bounces. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down. Think you're right enough. Think you're right enough.
When you mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.